God's Road Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nybert. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nybert.
I've entitled the message for this morning, The Faith of the Dying Thief. Now, most of you have probably heard of the dying thief, the man who went up onto the cross unsaved, and the Lord saved him at this dying hour. The faith of the dying thief. You know, you and I are dying. We might not be thinking about that, but this might be the last day we have. We may have another 20 years. That's not that long. You and I are dying. The thief's death was very imminent, and he knew that. But I'm speaking as a dying man to dying men. The faith of the dying thief. Now we read in verse 39 of Luke chapter 23, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, spoke blasphemously concerning him. And before I go on reading, the other two accounts in both Matthew and Mark said both of the thieves were doing this. Not just the one, but both of the thieves were railing on him. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Now he looked at that man seemingly so helpless, nailed to a cross, knowing he was going to die. And he said, You're not going to stay dead. You're going to come back as a mighty, reigning king over your kingdom. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You know, the Lord never said that to Moses. He never said that to Abraham or Paul or John or Peter. But he says to this man, this very day, you shall be with me in paradise. The faith of the dying thief. Let me give you three things regarding saving faith. Saving faith knows who Christ is. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. He didn't say, I know what I believed. He said, I know whom I have believed. You see, what you believe is predicated on who you believe. Secondly, saving faith relies on Him only. Paul said, I know whom I believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed to him, the entire salvation of my soul. I'm looking to him only. All my eggs are in this basket. I have no plan B. If he didn't do it all, there's no hope for me. I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. Now, saving faith knows who Christ is. Saving faith relies on him only. And saving faith comes by hearing. It comes through the ear gate. What we are doing right now, Paul said in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now this thief knew who Christ was. That's what is preeminent with regard to this man's faith. And we're going to see this. He knew who Christ was. And secondly, he relied only on him. He said, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. My entire salvation is completely dependent upon you remembering me. If you remember me, I'll be saved. If you pass me by, I won't, and I'll get exactly what I deserve. But if you remember me, I will be saved. And this man's faith with regard to who the Lord is did not come from what he saw. He saw no miracles. A lot of other people did, but he saw no miracles. Here's what he did see. He sees a man nailed to a cross, just like he was, seemingly helpless and defeated, forsaken by God and forsaken by man. Now, his faith didn't come from what he saw, but what he heard. Now, let me tell you what he did here. He heard this, Matthew chapter 27 in Matthew's account, beginning in verse 38, then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads. Now these men hanging on the cross heard this. The other thief heard it, and this thief heard it. Here's what they heard. Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross, and we'll believe on him. You hear the things they're saying? He claims to be the Son of God. He claims to be the King of Israel. He claims to be the Savior. Verse 43, he trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. These two men heard this. Verse 44, the thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Both of these men began reviling the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this man heard all 7 of the sayings of the Savior from the cross. Christ died before he did. He actually saw the Lord die, but he heard these words, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Woman, behold thy son, behold thy mother. He heard when the Lord said, I thirst. He heard the cry from the darkness, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Lord said to him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He heard the mighty cry, "It is finished." And he heard the Lord say, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Now the timing of this is the event for which the universe was created, the cross. That's why the world was created. That's why Adam fell, for the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. His hour, his reason for coming had come. He's called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And he said with regard to this hour, "What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. For this cause came I into this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Now this man was a thief, probably an escaped slave who had become a thief. Perhaps he was on the same plane as Barabbas. Barabbas was a robber, he was a thief, but he was also an insurrectionist, someone that brought on rebellion from the Roman government or toward the Roman government, and a murderer. Perhaps this man was the same thing. And he was on a cross. That was the death of a Roman. It's the way Rome judged its enemies. Everybody was made to know, if you defy Rome, this is your end. You'll be nailed to a cross. Now, this man was a dangerous, wicked man hanging on a cross, railing on Christ just the way the other one had done. Now, this man had never given a dime to the cause of Christ. He was never a member of a local church. He was never baptized. He never took the Lord's table. He had nothing that could commend him to God. And there he hangs, spewing out his hatred and venom toward the Lord Jesus Christ, "If you're the Christ. If you're the Christ. Save yourself and us. Come down from the cross." Now, while they're both reviling, this man suddenly grows strangely silent. Verse 39, "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering." Now he had been reviling Christ as well, but now he's not. Why? Because he now knows who Jesus Christ is. He didn't know when he was first nailed to that cross, but now through hearing what he has heard, he believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he says, "Don't you fear God?" That other thief's railing grated on him. He couldn't stand hearing it anymore. And he said, "Don't you fear God?" Now the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. That man, when he was nailed to the cross, didn't have any fear of God. No natural man has any fear of God, any respect, reverence at all toward the living God. And this man sees his buddy cursing Christ. He says, "Don't you fear God, seeing you're in the same condemnation?" Now, I have no doubt that that man knew that Jesus Christ was God. "Don't you fear God?" How do you know that? Because anyone who knows him knows that he is God, God the Son. He heard those claims. He claimed to be the Son of God. Listen to this scripture in John chapter 5, verse 13. The Jews sought to kill him because he said God was his Father, making himself equal with God. The only one who's equal with God is God. This is God the Son, and the thief knew him as such. He believed the same thing that the Ethiopian eunuch believed. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And if you know Him, if you know who He is, of this I'm sure, you know He's God. You know He's the Creator of the universe. You know He's the God of glory. And if somebody doesn't know Him as that, they just don't know Him, period. Now, I don't know if he knew what he was saying, but he says to this other thief, you're in the same condemnation he is. Don't you fear God, seeing you're in the same condemnation? Both of them were on a cross. But this man has done nothing amiss. This one who has been crucified has done nothing amiss. He's in the same condemnation we are, yet he has done nothing amiss. Why? Is it because he was unjustly accused and because he had bad luck? No, it's because of substitutionary atonement. That's why the one who has done nothing amiss is nailed to a cross. Now, if he didn't see that clearly at that time, he would soon, because he was just getting ready to be in that great choir saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain, who has redeemed us to God by His blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation, and has made us kings and priests unto God. Now, if someone is nailed to a cross who's done nothing amiss, we know why. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. Now look what he says next. He says in verse 41, and we indeed justly, we're getting exactly what we have coming. We're receiving the due reward of our deeds. Now let me say this. If you see who Jesus Christ is, you will see who you are, and not before then. If you see who Jesus Christ is, you see that you are no victim. All your sin is all your fault, and if God sends you to hell, you will be getting exactly what you deserve. You deserve to be cast off, cut off by God, and sent to hell. Anybody who sees who Jesus Christ is will see that with regard to themselves. I deserve to be cut off. If God does not save me, if He passes me by and lets me drop into hell, I'm getting exactly, precisely what justice demands that I have. I am a sinner. But look what else he said in verse 41. But this man hath done nothing amiss. He knew that Jesus Christ had never sinned. Now somebody says, he'd only known Him a few hours. If that long, how could he have known, looking out over his past 33 years, how could he know that this man had never sinned? I know the answer to that question, because he knew who he was. If you know who Jesus Christ is, you know that He is incapable of sin. He's the Holy One of Israel. This man had done nothing amiss. He believed in the sinless Son of God. The only way there would be saving efficacy in what he did is because he was sinless. Now, look what he says in verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, Lord. He knew He was the Lord. Now, I'm sure that some of the people standing around the cross, when they heard Him say that, started snickering. Him, Lord? I don't think so. Look at Him. He's nailed to a cross. He's dying. How could you call this man Lord? Maybe the other thief snickered and used curse words with regard to what he said when he called the Lord Jesus Lord. He knew who he was. And he knew he was Lord. No man can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, you can audibly say Jesus is Lord without the Holy Ghost. A parrot can. You can train a parrot to say that. I'm sure there are parrots who have said Jesus is Lord. But that's talking about believing, not only saying, but believing He is Lord. He's the Lord of creation. He spake the universe into existence. He's the Lord of providence. That means He controls everything. You know, when they were nailing Him to that tree, He was willing it to take place. He was in control of every event, and He's in control of every event everywhere in the universe at all times because He is Lord. He's Lord of providence. By Him all things consist. Whatever happens is His will being done. And He is Lord of salvation. What that means, my dear friend, is as to whether or not me or you are saved, it's up to Him. If He wills your salvation, you'll be saved. If He doesn't will your salvation, you will not be saved. He is Lord of salvation. He's risen from the dead and He is Lord. That man knew he was Lord. Now, you see, everything you believe is predicated on knowing who He is. For instance, if you would have said, have you ever heard of election? He would have said no. If you would have told him what it meant, that God chose who'd be saved, he'd say amen. That's the only way I could be saved. If you told him of particular redemption, he'd say, well, I don't know what that means. If you let him know that whatever Christ does must be successful, he'd say, yeah, I believe that. That's the only way I'd be saved. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. You're not going to stay dead because of who you are. You're not going to fail because of who you are. You're going to come back as a mighty reigning king. Whatever you intended to do while you were here has been done. You have saved your people from their sins. You're the Lord. Now, when you come back as a mighty reigning king, remember me. That's all that's needed for my salvation, is for you to remember me. You see, he knew who the Lord was. Remember me when you come back into your kingdom. And the Lord gave this man assurance that he never gave anyone else. He said, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now, saving faith is knowing who He is, He's the Lord, and relying on who He is. If you just remember me because of who you are, all you got to do is remember me, and I'll be saved. And oh, how I love the Lord's reply today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now, this man had the same thief that Roman centurion had, who said, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And the Lord said, I'll come and heal him. And the man said, I'm not worthy that you come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. You see, I understand authority. I have one under me, and I say, go, and he goes. Another that comes to me, and he says, come. And I say, come, and he comes. I understand authority. And I know that you have absolute authority because of who you are. And all you have to do is will it, and my servant shall be healed. And the Lord called that the greatest faith in Israel. Well, this thief had the same faith. Lord, if you remember me, I will be saved. And oh, the assurance the Lord gave him. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now, let me make these closing statements. Do we not have the right to say that we know this man was saved? The Lord said, today you'll be with me in paradise. I mean, there's no question about it. You know, there's other people you've thought, are they saved? I'm not sure. You might have thought about yourself. I don't know whether I'm saved. I hope I am. I'm not sure. But we know about this man that he was saved. No question about it. The Lord said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Secondly, do we not have the right to say that this man was saved altogether by grace? That's the only way this man could be saved. He had nothing to bring to the table. All he was a wicked thief. There's no way he could be saved if it wasn't altogether by grace. Do we not have the right to say that? This man was saved altogether by grace. And this lets us know we have the right to say that the youngest believer with the most minimal amount of faith, whatever that means, his faith is knowing who Jesus Christ is. That's everything we can say about this thief. He knew who he was. He knew he was God. He knew he never sinned. He knew he was Lord. He knew he was coming back as a mighty reigning king because he knew who he was. Everything he believed came out of him knowing who he was. And do we not have the right to say that Christ is able to save the very chief of sinners? We sure do. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The thief is the example of this. And do we not have the right to say that a believer enters heaven to be with Christ immediately upon death? Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. And do we not have the right to say that if we are saved, we're saved the same way the thief was? I love that hymn, "The Dying Thief Rejoiced to See the Fountain in His Day." And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. The dying thief knew who Christ was. He heard what Christ said, and he relied only on Christ for his salvation. We have this message on CD, DVD. If you call the church right, or email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Nybert.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.nybert@gmail.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.